time, and he doesn't even appreciate it. He's rude and disrespectful, and I can't stand some of the other people at work, too. It's getting to the point where I almost dread going to work each day. I asked my friend to tell me about the problem she was having with her coworkers, and she launched into a long, convoluted tale of inter-office politics. Having no experience in her field, I couldn't make out much of what she said, but as far as I could understand, it had to do with a troublesome, backstabbing colleague who took over someone else's account and caused a rift among the employees as various factions formed in the department and aligned themselves into several camps. It sounded to me like an episode of the TV show Survivor. In virtually every study of workplace conditions and the factors that contribute to employee satisfaction or dissatisfaction, the social climate of the organization plays a prominent role. Leading scholars in the emerging field of positive psychology, such as James Harder, Frank Schmidt, and Corey Keyes, in reviewing the existing literature on well-being at work, have found social interaction to be an important element in job satisfaction. Numerous researchers, including sociologist Karen Lascoco while working at SUNY Albany, or Sheila Henderson conducting research at Stanford University, confirmed the key role of social atmosphere in employee satisfaction. In addition to providing greater satisfaction at the workplace, work-related social support was also found to be a factor in a person's general state of well-being. It is of little surprise, therefore, that in our discussions about happiness at work, sooner or later, we were bound to touch upon the subject of relationships at work, the human factor. Resuming our conversation late the following afternoon, the Dalai Lama began,
"There may be many factors or variables that affect the degree to which work contributes to happiness. And it depends on each individual's circumstances, makeup, and so on. Still, I think that in talking about work and happiness, there are some general things to keep in mind. I think it is important to remember that in all human activities, whether it is work or some other activity, the main purpose should be to benefit human beings. Now, what is it that we are seeking in our work? What is the purpose of work? Like any other human activity, we are seeking a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness, isn't it? And if we are talking about human happiness, then of course human emotions come into play. So we should take special care to pay attention to the human relationships at work, how we interact with one another, and try to maintain basic human values, even at work."
By basic human values, you mean?
Just basic human goodness. Be a good person, a kind person. Relate to others with warmth, human affection, with honesty and sincerity. Compassion.
The Dalai Lama was still for several moments, as if deeply reflecting on these principles. It was remarkable. He had spent a lifetime speaking about these human values, repeating the same ideas over and over. Yet each time he spoke of them, it was with a certain freshness, as if he were discovering these concepts for the first time. He seemed to take great delight in speaking about human values, no matter how many times he had spoken of them before. So with a tone of genuine interest and enthusiasm, he resumed.
"You know, one thing that I think is crucial to keep in mind when talking about human values, compassion, and so on, is that these are not simply religious subjects. Compassion isn't something sacred, nor are anger and hatred considered to be profane just from a religious perspective. These things are important not because some religious text says so, but because our very happiness depends on them. These states of mind, compassion, human affection,